21b2, yes, that's correct. Huh? Yeah, no, I know. We're past the beard. Last time we were learning you could do one plowing and get 8 sins. That's what we're up to. But we finished that aspect of it too. Yeah, we have to get ready for a new party.
We don't keep going backwards, yeah.
We don't keep going backwards, yeah. No. Hey, coffee break's over. Is this on already? Do you just erase it?
Yeah, I just start whenever I want.
No?
No?
They're bringing drinks. There's a full service shul. Come on, guys, let's go. Rabbi Wolf has to teach a class tonight yet. Okay. We are starting 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 11. 12 lines in the top of 42. Chav Aleph Amid Beis. In the Mishnah, it said a din. That if somebody, sometimes it's possible to plow a field and get, what's everybody going off to?
I'm nearsighted.
Huh? Nobody got any cups?
It's possible, the Gemara says, to plow one plowing and you get 8 sins, if you remember. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yanai just continues on it, and he says, B'chabura nimna v'gomru, in the group, they used to learn in groups in the times of the special days when all the Talmidei Chacham used to come together to learn. So he said in that group they decided that Achayfa B'Kalayim, if somebody just covers Kalayim, I'll explain in a second, like you get Malkus. The Torah says you're not allowed to plant wheat and grapes together. If somebody takes a vine and bends it down to the wheat, it just puts in the ground a seed of wheat and a seed of grapes, they get whipped. Now, here they made a thing that even if you don't even plant it, if the seeds are in the ground and you just cover it with dirt, you also get malchus. Even though you didn't even plant it. Seemingly, the Torah says you're not allowed to plant wheat and grapes together. Here they decided that even if you just cover it with dirt, you also get the Aveda. Then the Gemara says, Amr lam Rabbi Yechonah said to this group, so to speak, Lav Mishnah say no hizu. Is this not our Mishnah? Our Mishnah said it in Yesh Chayrish Telemechot. It's possible to plow a single row. V'chayev all of Mishim Shmein Elavim, you get 8 Avedis. And the Mishnah says, HaChayrish B'Sher V'Chamer Yachtav. If somebody plows with an ox and a donkey, V'Eim Mugdoshin that have belonged to the base of Migdosh, V'Kalayim B'Keren, what they're plowing is Kalayim and Keren. So he says, "Hai chedesh de mechayim mishum kalayim hechem mishkachaslu." So the Mishnah says a case. One of the 8 sins is if you're planting grapes and wheat together. And the Gemara says, "What does it mean? Lav de michse bade dozel." Doesn't it mean that the animals are just covering it while they're traveling, while they're moving in the ground? Meaning as follows: when you plow with an animal, okay, the animal doesn't plant. The animal doesn't take a seed and put it into the ground. Yet the Mishnah says that by the axe plowing, you're also getting a sin of planting wheat and grapes together. The question, the animal's plowing is not doing wheat and grapes together. So we must say that it's speaking in a case that the seeds are there in the ground and the animal now is covering it with dirt as they plow and you see itself that's counted as a sin that you get malchus for. So from here, Rabbi Yechon is asking this group, what brainstorm did you guys come up with? It's a clear Mishnah. The Mishnah says, if you cover wheat and grape seeds together, you get Malkus. Amalesi said to him, he laughed at the loy lochaspa, if I didn't take away the paper, mi mishkachas maganisa tusa, would you have found the diamond underneath it? In other words, he said that an expression. Because we said the din, you interpreted the Mishnah the way you're interpreting it. Because there's a different way of interpreting the Mishnah. There's another way of interpreting the Mishnah. It's like an expression. If I didn't take away the cover, you would have found the diamond, you wouldn't have found the diamond. So by me uncovering it, you found the diamond. Meaning, you could have learned a different way. What does it mean? The Gemara is going to say later. How could you learn the Mishnah? So the Gemara is going to explain soon. You could have learned the Mishnah according to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, you can get Malkus, even if you didn't plant Kalayim, you just kept it. And the Gemara is going to explain this whole thing. It's not that Rabbi Akiva doesn't hold of Lav She'ein Be'Maiser, which we'll see about in a second. Meaning as follows. Rabbi Akiva holds that even if you don't plant Kalayim, even if you don't plant wheat and grapes together, you just keep it there together, you are also getting a sin.
Where?
In other words, to give an example, if you buy a field from somebody, and in the field there's seeds planted next to each other, wheat and grapes, you didn't do anything. You didn't do a thing. All you did was you didn't get rid of it. Rabbi Kiva says you're also going to get whipped. As the Gemara is going to explain, even though you didn't do anything, here it's different. Here it's different. So the Gemara says as follows. And the Mefarshim explain, there's a law that a lav that you don't get action for, that you don't do action, you don't get whipped. How can you keep Kalayim and get whipped if you didn't do anything? The answer is because here it started with an action. Somebody planted it. And once somebody started with an action, even though you ended up passive, it's still considered the original action that you did. And therefore you're going to be chayiv, even though there's no action to the lav. And Rabbi Kiva agrees with the law, any lav that doesn't have an action, you don't get whipped. Nevertheless, in this case, you're going to get whipped. Because it began with an action. Anything that begins with an action, even though later it becomes passive, it still gets a sin. Okay, so now the Gemara says, Amen Rish Lakish Rabbi Eichanan, Rish Lakish said to Rabbi Eichanan, if this person didn't praise you for your explanation of the Mishnah, Havamina, I would have learned the Mishnah differently. How would I learn the Mishnah? The Masnis and Mani Rabbi Kiva here, my Mishnah could go according to Rabbi Kiva, that says, Hamekayim Kalayim Loikin, that is just keeping Kalayim, even if you don't plant it, just keeping wheat and grapes together in the field, you're going to get whipped. Why? So the Gemara says, my time at Rabbi Kiva. My Rabbi Kiva, where do we find this Rabbi Kiva? The Tanya says in the Braise, HaMenachesh V'Mechape B'Kalayim, if a person pulls out weeds, and it's a very interesting halacha. Let me just discuss this for a second. The Torah says, you're not allowed to plant wheat and grapes together. Now, the Gemara takes it to more. The Gemara expands it. What do you mean the Gemara expands it? The Gemara is going to say now that even if you don't plant it, but let's say there's weeds around wheat and wheat and grapes are planted together. Okay? Somebody else planted it. You didn't do anything. And there's weeds growing around it. And you pull out the weeds, you're chayiv because that's considered planting wheat and grapes together. Why? Because by weeding it, taking out the weeds, you're allowing it to grow better. Or, like we learned before, if you just take dirt and cover the seeds, that's also chayiv, because you're doing something that enhances the growing process. Rabbi Kiva says, Afa Mekayim, even if you just keep Kalayim going, the fact that you didn't get rid of it shows that you also did an act of planting. So the Gemara is extending the definition of planting. The Torah says you're not allowed to plant wheat and grapes together. The Chachamim are coming along and said, anything that you do that helps it grow is considered planting wheat and grapes together. Wheat and grapes, by the way, are unique because if you do it, they're forbidden to benefit from. Grafting many vegetables and things are forbidden to do, but you're allowed to eat the fruit. You know, today a lot of fruits are grafted between different types of fruits together. So then you're not supposed to do it, but if it's done, you can eat the fruit. The fruit is not osir bana. Wheat and grapes is much stricter. The Torah forbids you not only to plant it, but the Torah said you can't even eat the fruit, or whatever it is that comes out of it. It's osir bana. It's forbidden to benefit from. There must be. But it's interesting, there's kalayim. Kalayim is actually a definition of mixing different things together. The Torah says you're not allowed to plant a shur and a chamer together. That's a type of kalayim. You're not allowed to mix grafting of wheat and grapes together. You can't wear wool and linen together. These are all various different types of kalayim. In fact, even shatnez, the Torah calls kalayim. Anything of that types of stuff is considered kalayim in the various different things that the Torah forbids, certain type of grafting. If you think even by people, and it's the Torah forbids doing it by animals, you can't plow with a shur and a chamer together. You can't do it in clothing. You can't do it in planting, and you could say the same thing, that certain marriages that the Torah forbids, certain relatives, to marry certain relatives with each other, it's also a form of grafting people that, you know, the Torah forbids.
Breeding two different animals, like donkey and a horse.
That, again, you're not supposed to do it, but what the outcome of it is allowed. A mule, that's what a mule is. Okay, so now it says, my time with Rabbi Kiva. Why does Rabbi Kiva hold that if you do mamish nothing, you own a field that has wheat and grapes planted together, and you don't take it apart, you get an aveda. You get malchus. So he says as follows, the Tanya, because it says in the Torah, Sotcha le'sizra kalayim. You're not allowed, the Brisa brings down, your field, you're not allowed to plant it kalayim. So ainli alezireya. I only know you can't plant. Mikayim, Inayin Rabbi Kiva says, how do I know you can't even keep it if you maintain it? So he says like this. The Pasuk says, Behem Tachol Sabia Kalayim. The Torah says like this. You cannot mix breed animals. Sotcho Sizra Kalayim. You can't plant your field Kalayim. So the way the Gemara reads it like as follows. Kalayim Sotcho Loi. Now the Torah says, the Torah is using the word loy to stop the pasuk in the middle. And the Torah is using the word loy for before and after. Meaning the pasuk says as follows. Bam tochol sabia kalayim, you cannot graft your animals. You can't mate your animals, different breeds. You can't plant your field, different breeds. Beggar kalayim shatnes and don't wear shatnes. That's the first full pasuk. So the Gemara says as follows. Bam tochol sabia kalayim. Then it says, Sadchaloi, your field also not. Then the Torah says, Loi Sizra Kalayim. So it's like the Torah is saying it twice. Field, no, don't plant it, Kalayim. So from the extra expression, Rabbi Kiva says that the Torah is teaching us, not only are you not allowed to plant it, not only are you not allowed to do something actively that enhances the growing of wheat and grapes together, you can't even do anything. Even if you're not doing anything, you're going to get whipped. Meaning, the fact that there's a mixture of wheat and grapes on your field, and you don't separate it, that itself is a sin.
You don't water it. That means
seemingly, according to this Gemara, the implication, not that the Gemara says it clearly, but I would say the implication of the Gemara is, that's like weeding it. So if you water it, you'd also be getting a sin. In fact, there's a whole, Gemara brings it down to the beginning of Baba Basra. What happens if you have a vineyard, and next door to your vineyard, I have a wheat field. Okay? So the Gemara says there has to be a certain amount of space between where you're planting vines and where I'm planting wheat. Or you need to have a wall. And then the Gemara says, what happens if there was a wall separating the vineyard and the wheat field, and then the wall falls down? And now the question is, now they're going to be grafting because they're really close to each other. But the wall separated them, and you tell the owner, come on, fix the wall, fix the wall, fix the wall, whatever, and he doesn't. So after a while, it's going to become forbidden. Because they're going to start nourishing from each other through the ground, and therefore you're going to have wheat with grapes in it, and grapes with wheat in it. And then it's forbidden to use them, and so on and so forth.
If you have a field with wheat, or if they can mingle, and you have weeds, how do you get rid of it? How do you replant your field, get rid of it so you can replant it? Somebody, let's say you buy it, and you find out, oh, this thing's got it, and you've got
what?
It, you're stuck with it.
The vineyard?
Yeah,
you buy a field that has vineyard and wheat together?
Say you're unbeknownst to you, there's a part of it that had it.
You have, well, according to Rabbi Akiva, well, according to everybody, you can't benefit from it.
Right.
Even if you don't plant it.
Can you clear it?
You have to clear it.
So you can't.
You have to clear it completely and start again planting whatever you want. Yeah, but if it's forbidden to benefit from, then you can't use it anyway. So what do you do with it?
But what? Wheat and grape, they can't be grafted together and make a new fruit, can they?
No.
It's just that
no.
It doesn't happen. Just the fact that they're next to each other is forbidden.
I'm saying if you graft it into a new fruit, if it is such, you wouldn't be allowed to eat that fruit.
But the prohibition is not because the new fruit is going to come out of it. It's because just
the prohibition, the Torah says you can't graft it.
That's it.
So if you buy it,
I'll give you an example. Shatnez is wool and linen together, correct? Okay, so everybody knows it's a chayk, it doesn't make sense, like meat and milk, yeah? Wool is kosher, linen is kosher, you stick them together, become treif. I mean, two positives in math don't make a negative, right? How could two kosher things become treif is a chayk, right? But it's interesting. The Rambam writes in Sefer Mitzvahs, if you look, when the Rambam writes, don't wear shatnez. The Rambam writes because that's what the Goyish priest used to do. But I'll tell you a little secret. The avnet, the belt that the Kohen Gadol wore, or the regular Kohen wore, had wool and linen in it. Look in the Chumash. It says the belt, the gartel, the big gartel, the bigger than yours, the big gartel that the Kohen wore, it had shatnez in it. Look in the Chumash. And therefore there was a din that when the Kohanim were not working at night, they couldn't use it as a pillow. Because at night, you know, the Kohanim would sleep a lot of times in the base of Migdash, right? So what do you want? You need to put a cushion down. So where do you get a pillow? So they would take the gartel. I mean, they would think to take the gartel and, you know, smash it up, put it folded up together. But you weren't allowed to. Because it was only allowed during the time you worked in the Beis HaMikdash, because Torah said that's what the Avnet is, but outside of the Beis HaMikdash, they weren't allowed to wear the Avnet. But I'm coming to something else. It's brought down in Sfarim, from the Midrashim and things. Why did God forbid wool and linen? Where does it come from, so to speak? Okay, we know it's a chayk and everything, but after it's a chayk, we have to try to understand it. Because of Kayin and Hevel. Kayin, it says in the Chumash, brought linen. Mipri ha'adam, Rashi says, pishnanoya. It was linen. And Hevel brought from the shearings of wool. So he brought a sacrifice to God from wool, and he brought a sacrifice to God in linen, and what happened because of it? The brother killed the brother. So God said, you know what? I don't want to have anything to do with this wool and linen together bit. Once was enough. What? That's it, Teres Hessel. Shatnez is also not because of Kain and Hevel. The Shatnez is Teres Hessel. There might be brought down reasons, you know, after the fact. But the truth is, it's a complete chayk. In other words, Teres says, this is what I want. There's no reason. Afterwards, you try to find reasons, you know, you try to find, to understand it. But the reason is it's a chayk. It's not, it's one of the chukim of the Torah. It's not one of the logical mitzvahs of the Torah. Okay, then the Gemara says, so therefore Rabbi Kiva says, even if you keep it, it's forbidden. So now the Gemara asks, now the Gemara is going to ask a bunch of questions. The Gemara said in the Mishnah, if you plant, you know, with the shur and the chamer together, and hegdish and yomtiv and all thing, you're going to get, it's possible to get whipped 8 times 39 for one plowing. And the Mishnah mentioned the possibility, how it's possible to do one plowing with an ox and a shur and a chamer together, that you're going to get 8 times malchus, 8 times 39. So the Gemara asks, I could give you more scenarios to add to the 8. So the Gemara says, Amalei ulo Rav Nachman, what's wrong? What do you have here? And it was different. Yeah, it's Rosh Hashanah. I know, I told him to bring Marcus. He brought Rosh Hashanah or Marcus? Marcus. You're learning Rosh Hashanah? Okay. So the Gemara asks, I'm going to let you a little Rav Nachman. Huh? Yeah. They tell a story. I think they tell about the Rebbe, but they tell a story about a tzaddik that there was once, he was once teaching a class and there weren't enough Gemaras. So by mistake, somebody brought him a wrong Gemara. Anyway, he opens the Gemara and he starts reading what it says in the Gemara that he didn't have. Because he knew the Gemara word by word, by heart. So he was, looked like he was looking inside. But they found out later he had a different Gemara. He didn't even have the Gemara they were learning, but he was reading from the Gemara as if...
I heard he was writing a letter at the same time.
It could be. Okay. Yeah. So Amalei Ulu Rav Nachman. So Ulu said to Rav Nachman, V'lo kanam shim zreh b'yomtif. Why doesn't he... I'll give you another case. He should get Malkus for planting on Yom Tov. Okay? He should get Malkus for planting on Yom Tov. In other words, as follows. The Gemara says, you get a sin for plowing on Yom Tov. Okay? But the Gemara is asking now, if you're telling me covering the dirt is considered planting, so he should get whipped not only for plowing on Yom Tov, but he's planting on Yom Tov too. And the Gemara only counts one sin for Yom Tov, which is plowing. So the Gemara says he's planting also, not only is he plowing. Because we learned when you cover the seeds with dirt, it's called planting. Amalei Tane V'Shaya. So he answers like this. You're right. Really, there's more than 8. The Mishnah leaves out a few. So the Gemara asks, Amar Leisei Ula said back to him, Tane Katani Shmeina. The Tana says 8. And you're seeing he leaves over. If the Tana says there's 8 sins, he means 8, not 10. You can't say there's really 10, but he only says 8. Once you say a number, then you mean the number. You don't mean more. Rav Sarava answers, and this is a very interesting halacha. Yesh chilek melachos b'Shabbos, and Shabbos there's a separation of melacha, ve'in chilek melacha b'yomtiv, and there's no difference, there's no separation of work on yomtiv. This is a very interesting concept. We learned on Shabbos there's 39 melachos, right? The 39 principle. Things which are forbidden to do on Shabbos. Now what happens if a guy does 5 of the 39? He forgot it was Shabbos. The guy was all alone somewhere. He forgot it was Shabbos. He started plowing and cooking and riding and erasing and tearing. He did 5 melachos on Shabbos. The din is, he's going to get 5 times. He has to bring 5 kabbalah. I'm sorry, accident. He has to bring 5 korbanos. You don't say, well, if you forgot it Shabbos, that's it. You only have to bring 1 korban for 5 sins. On Shabbos, every sin is a different punishment. On Yom Tov, there's only one. If you did five things forbidden on Yom Tov, you're only going to get punished once. Huh? We'll see in a second why. But just to understand the Gemara. The Gemara's original question was, why are you telling me one of the eight prohibitions that he's going to get whipped for is plowing on Yom Tov? And the Gemara asked, but he's also planting on Yom Tov, so it should be nine times Malkus. Why are you saying only plowing on Yom Tov? So the Gemara first answered that there's more. But the bottom line, the Gemara answers now, and this is the true answer. The Gemara says, this is the true answer, and that is, on Shabbos, every malacha is another punishment. Yom Tov, even if you did all 39 malachas on Yom Tov, you're going to get whipped once. So Amish just talking about how many times you're going to get whipped. So even though you plowed and planted on Yom Tov, you're only going to get whipped once.
So for Yom Tov, the maximum punishment that you would ever get is only once.
Correct. Correct.
That's finish Yom Tov, the most you're going to get is just one, regardless of whatever you
do. Yeah. Now, where do we learn this out from? Where do we learn out from? So, there's a pasuk in Parshas Vayakil that says, Leisava'aru eish b'chol mashvisechem b'yom ha-Shabbos. You're not allowed to kindle a fire in any of your domains on Shabbos. So really, Rashi quotes this argument in Chumash. The question is, if the Torah already says don't do malacha, and the Torah doesn't define clearly what malacha is, but we know from Halacha L'Meshem Sinai that the 39 prohibited work on Yom and Shabbos, why does the Torah say lo sevaru eish b'chol mashvisechem b'yom Shabbos? Why does the Torah say don't kindle a fire? That's one of the 39. Why is it separated from all the other 39? So there's two opinions in the Gemara. One opinion in the Gemara is as follows. Because I would think that when do you get whipped on Shabbos? Only if you do all 39. How do I know that even if you do one prohibited work on Shabbos, you also get whipped? How would I know that? So the Torah says, "Leisavadu eish b'chol mashvisechem b'yom haShabbos." B'yom haShabbos, to teach us that on Shabbos, each malacha gets its own punishment. But the Torah says only b'yom haShabbos, not on Yom Tov. So therefore, Yom Tov, each malacha is not a separate punishment. So the Gemara is answering over here. You're right. The guy did plowing and he did planting. So if it would be Shabbos, he would have to be whipped twice. But Yom Tov, he's only whipped once. Because Yom Tov is one concept. But obviously the din is, you know, what happens, the only scenario was the guy would forget that all these things are forbidden on Shabbos or Yom Tov. Because if a guy, as the Gemara is going to say, what happens, and I made a mistake before when I said it, by the way. What happens if a guy forgot it was Shabbos, and he did 10 malachas, he's only going to bring one carbon. Because there's only one forgetting. He forgot it was Shabbos. So there's only one accidental thing. But if a guy knew it was Shabbos, but he didn't know that you're not allowed to write and cook and bake and erase and plow and cut, and then he would get, for each malach, he would get whipped. Or a car, if it was accidental, he'd bring a karma katas, the sin offering.
If he was raised a boy, and he didn't know anything, but he knew Jews have Shabbat?
When the Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt, he long lines with karbonis. We got a guy raised a guy was not from. Huh? What are you going to do if a guy was born not from the boy?
Exactly.
A guy wasn't religious, and then he became religious, so he didn't. So it's a whole discussion. It's possible that he's going to have to. Sure. But they don't have the sacrifices yet.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Animal rights.
Because the furnace in Crown Heights, they can't handle all the animals. Yeah. But it's a good point, yeah. Okay. Then the Gemara asks a question on this din that we just said. Abaye asked the question. Okay, three lines in the bottom of the page. Eitzvi Abaye asked the question. Are you telling me that on Yom Tif there's no separation of the Malacha, that if you did 10 Malachas you only bring one carbon? It can't be. Because it says, Amavashel Gid B'cholov B'Yom Tif, if a guy cooked on Yom Tif, the Gid Anasha is with the sinew, what is it called? No, the thigh of the animal in milk on Yom Tif, and he ate it, like a chomish, he gets 5 times malchus. A guy took the thigh of the animal, the hind quarter, so to speak, you know, that you're not allowed to eat, the ginanosha, and he cooked it in milk. And Yom Tov, and he eats it, he's going to get 5 times 39. What are the 5 avedas? He says like this. Like a mishamaychal gid, he's doing it. He gets malchus for eating ginanosha, and the Torah says you're not allowed to eat the ginanosha. And he's obligated because he cooked on Yom Tif unnecessarily, because this is not considered the need of Yom Tif, because it's prohibited food. If it's forbidden food, you cook on Yom Tif forbidden food. You're only allowed to cook on Yom Tif what you must have for Yom Tif. But if you're not allowed to eat it, you can't cook on Yom Tif something you're not allowed to eat. So he gets malchus for eating gidanasha. He gets malchus for cooking. He gets malchus for mishum avashul gid b'cholav, because you're not allowed to cook meat and milk together. Just cooking it is forbidden. V'leika mishum eichel basar b'cholav, and he gets malchus for eating meat and milk together. V'leika, and the fifth one is mishum havara, because he made a fire. Right? Now, cooking and making a fire are two separate malachas, but on Yom Tif, if they're only counted as one, how can you get malchus for cooking and making a fire if both are prohibited things on Yom Tif? But you said Yom Tif, everything is counted only as one. Right? Now, just to explain this, the Torah says 3 times, Leisavashu gadi b'chalevimei. The Torah says 3 times in Chumash, you're not allowed to cook a kid in his mother's milk. So Gemara says, why does the Torah say it 3 times? One is, you're not allowed to cook it, you're not allowed to eat it, and you're not allowed to benefit from it. That means, if somebody takes meat and milk and cooks it, they don't eat it, they're not even thinking about eating it. They cook meat and milk together, they get malchus. Because the Torah says, don't cook meat and milk together. If you eat it, you get malchus. So in this case, the guy takes the hind quarter of the animal, which is still meat, you know how to eat it, and he cooks it on Yom Tov with milk, and he eats it, he's going to get 5 malchus. Okay, number one, because he ate the gid anasha that you're not allowed to. Secondly, he cooked on Yom Tov that you're not allowed to. Thirdly, he cooked meat and milk together that you're not allowed to. Fourthly, he ate it. And then the fifth thing is he made a fire. No, he didn't benefit from it yet. Huh? He didn't eat it. He didn't have enough from it. If he had enough, what? No, if once you get in, you're not chai for no.
What if he didn't say brikat achrayna?
Why? If it's b'shaygig, you make a bracha. Bracha achrayna. What happens if somebody didn't know that he ate meat and milk together? He ate a food, and it was meat and milk together. Yeah? And then afterwards he realized, before he made a bracha achreina, he didn't make bray nefashis yet. He realized that, hey, this is tray for food. Does he make it after bracha or not? Didn't shulchan aruch. If it's b'shegig, you do. If it's accidental. Yeah? I had a call not long ago. Oh, but now it's long ago. It depends what you call long. A guy in the yeshiva ate meat, and like a little while later, he forgot that he ate meat, and he ate an ice cream, or something milchik. And after he ate the ice cream, then he said, "Oy vey, I ate," you know, which he wasn't allowed to do. He didn't wait 6 hours. So then the question is, can he make a bracha achrein on the ice cream? Or the milk, or whatever, candy, whatever. So then as you do, because if you did it accidentally, then, you know, because when he ate it, didn't realize he was doing something wrong. So then you do make it after bracha.
What if you make bracha on something and you think it's kosher, but it ends up not being kosher? Is the bracha that you made before, is it in vain?
It's not a bracha in vain, because you still benefited. You're not allowed to make a bracha on something which is forbidden. Yeah, not that it's not kosher. Some of the grape juice is considered cooked, some of the grape juice is not considered, but it's nothing to do with kosher. Okay, so the Gemara asks, what do you see from this braisa? Clearly, that on Yom Tov you can get whipped twice for two different malachas. But we just got to saying that if you do two malachas on Yom Tov, you only get whipped once, not twice. How could this braisa say twice? So the Gemara says, okay, apik havara, take out the fire. You're right, we've got to switch it around now. The fifth time is not for making a fire. But put gidanoshish on the vela. Put in a gidanosha of a dead carcass of an animal that wasn't shechted. So it's another sin. You can't eat an animal that wasn't shechted. Okay, so then that's the fifth. So the Gemara said, Votanya, but the Rabchia said, like a shtayim alechilasei, v'sholosh al bishulei. The Rabchia says, that in this braisa, that the braisa we just said about Yom Tov, they get whipped five times. He said he got whipped twice for eating and three times for cooking. If you make a cheshbon, there's three cooking sins and two eating sins from the five. So he said, "Vim isa," but if you're talking about the cooking and eating, shola shalachil osi chayiv, he's not chayiv three for cooking and two for eating. He's chayiv three for eating because he ate and the vela. So obviously you can't learn that the braisa means don't take out lighting a fire and just put in eating instead, because that's not what the Bechia says. So the Gemara says, okay, you know what? La'apik havara, take out the fire. Va'ayel atzei asheda, and he benefited from trees of idol worshipping, meaning as follows: he made the fire with trees from idol worshipping. And the Torah says you're not allowed to benefit from any object of idol worshipping. So if there was a tree that the Goyim worshipped, you couldn't benefit from the tree. And the guy used that wood to make the fire to cook the gidanosha that he cooked with milk. What? You're still benefiting from it. When the Torah says you're not allowed to benefit, you can't even use it for firewood. Even though by using it, you're destroying it, but meanwhile you're benefiting from the fire. Like the Torah says you're not allowed to benefit from chametz. Right? So if somebody to take chametz, a loaf of bread, and throw it into the fire to make the fire burn longer, you're not allowed to do it on Pesach. Because when the Torah says you can't benefit, it means even if you're destroying it while benefiting from it.
Unless there's no benefit from that fire.
Yeah, I mean, if you just throw into a fire, yeah, but here he's talking about the fire that he's cooking, the gidanosha that he ate together with milk, you know. And so the Gemara says, Azar Zamiacha, where do you know that you can't use this idol worshipping tree? Because it says that you're not allowed to have anything in your hand from the idol worshipping objects. So the Gemara asks, okay, let's have another question. The son of Ravah says to Ravashi, I can give you another thing to get Malkus for. Over here, the Torah says you're not allowed to bring any despicable thing into your house. If you bring the Asherah tree, this idol-worshipping tree, into your house to cook with it, why aren't you getting whipped for bringing it into your house? The Torah says you're not allowed to bring any idols into your house. So the Gemara says, speaking, Hocha b'mayas kinen, the bishli ba'atzi hagdish. Okay, forget it. Forget the idol tree. He cooked with wood that belonged to the Beis HaMikdash. And objects of the Beis HaMikdash you're not allowed to use for personal use. So the guy cooked the gid anosha that he ate with meat, with milk, he cooked it with the wood from the Beis HaMikdash. And where's the sin from? Asherem tisrifum ba'esh. It says the idol worshipping you have to burn. You're not allowed to take holy things and burn it. Because the Torah says the following pasuk. Destroy the idol worshippers, idol worshippings. Don't do this to God. So the Gemara says, the Torah says, burn the idols and don't do it to God. Meaning, anything that's holy, you're not allowed to burn and destroy. You're not allowed to destroy anything that's holy. This guy taking wood of the Beis HaMikdash and burning it, he's destroying objects of the Beis HaMikdash. So that's another sin.
How about the oil they use to kindle the light? Was the oil from idol worship?
That you also can benefit from.
That's an excellent market.
Yeah, no, I think I'm going to have a whole bunch of questions over here. But the bottom line of it is that you're not allowed to have any benefit from any idol worshipping object whatsoever. If somebody used oil, whatever it is, it's forbidden. It doesn't matter. You're not just not allowed to use it. And now the Gemara is going to... Is Rabbi Wolf here, by the way? Huh? Okay, let's continue a little bit. Anyway, so Gemara says... the Gemara just gives a simon, so to speak, to remember what it is. The Mishnah, this is going back to the Mishnah. This is very simple Gemara. The Gemara is going back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, if you plow the field on Yom Tov, with this oldest seed, you can get 8 whippings. Okay? So now the Gemara is going to say, but I can find you more cases to get whipped for. And there's, why are you stopping at 8? It could be 9, 10, 11, 12. You know, why are you stopping at that? So Maskula Reveshi asks, why don't you have another scenario that he planted with the Sharon Chamerit and Yom Tov, and this is it, in Nachal Eson. Nachal Eson is the following case. There's a din that's called Egla Rufa. Egla Rufa means the following halacha. If you find a dead body outside a city, and you don't know who killed it, so the Torah says you measure to the closest city, and the elders of the city go out, and they say, our hands did not shed this blood, and that's the speech they make. And then you take a calf and you chop off its head. Okay? And then the Torah says that this piece of land where you found a dead body, you're not allowed to plant. It's like a memorial, so to speak. You're not allowed to plant that field. So the Gemara says, you can have another additional Malkus over here. If this axe and donkey plowed an Yom Tov in Shemitah, where? In the Nachal Eson. In the Nachal, in the valley where you find this dead body. But that the Torah says, you're not allowed to plant there. So why don't we count that? And it says, "V'azhari mihacha ashele yavid b'avle yizare." The Torah says clearly, "You're not allowed to work. Then you're not allowed to plant." And the Gemara doesn't even bother answering. The Gemara right away asks the next question. Maskev l'rachananya r'chananya. I'll give you another case. While the Shur and the Chamer were walking, plowing, God's name was written on the ground, and while they're plowing it, they're erasing God's name. And it's a sin to erase God's name. So you can have another case that in the same plowing, they're going to get another sin. So the Gemara is just adding questions of why does the Mishnah say 8 when you could really have 10, 12 sins. And like it says, Vazor Hosemiach, and the warning is from here, it says, Vibadetam Ishmam, you have to destroy their idol, the names of idols, and then the Torah says, "Leisasek en Hashem alekechem." You're not allowed to do that to Hashem, which means you're not allowed to erase the name of Hashem. But if the ox and the donkey are going, and they're erasing the name of Hashem, it's another aveda. Or Mask of Lord Rababu, Rababu asks another question: why can't you count a guy who cuts off haketzes barase while he's working? He cuts off the white spot that he has on leprosy. There's a din. If a guy has a white spot of leprosy, it's forbidden to cut it off. Okay? Now, if this guy's plowing with an ox and a donkey, and while he was doing it, he cut off his leprosy, it's another malchus that he can get. It's another additional case he can get. Or, matkul abaye, lechoshev nami amaziach hachoshem yal eifet. Why did he add another case? There's a din, the Kohen had the eifet, which was the apron, the Kohen gadol, and on top of the apron he had the choshem, which was the breastplate. And the Torah says the breastplate cannot move off from the apron. So what happened is the guy was plowing with this animal, and while he was doing it, he moved the breastplate away from the apron. So it was another aveda while he was doing the same act. Yeah, the Kohen Gadol was doing it. Or he moved the poles of the Aron. The Ark and the Beis Hamikdash had poles. Two poles. He's a very talented Kohen Gadol.
Good imagination.
I mean, you know, the Gemara, we're going to stop, but the Gemara continues. What happens if a guy made a vow he's not going to do it, then he did it? I mean, the Gemara is going to go through scenarios of unbelievable, just to show that you could technically do one thing, one act, and get punished 12, 15 times.